This is CKLB, the voice of Den and Day.
I'm Stacey Arden-Smith,
and you're listening to Take the Road Less Traveled, but always wear good moccasins.
This is a war cry. Okay, my name is Sharon Ann Firth. I was born a twin on December 31st, 1953, in the Klavik. We grew up on my mom and dad's trap line, and I have to say that in the first 5 years of my life, I was really grounded. So saying that, like I mentioned, we grew up on the trap line. There was 13 brothers and sisters in my family. We lived in a one-room house, okay, and nice upbringing, because, you know, we never thought about, oh, we're poor. We never thought about not having the latest fashions or the best shoes or the best hairstyle. You know, whatever my mom put in front of us, that was what we dealt with. And she was very kind and very creative. You know, when she sewed, we sewed. And we were just little girls. When she cooked, we got our hands into the dough. And that's good. We all do that. So that's a fond memory. And so going up on the trap line, we were outdoors a lot. You know, there was just no time to stay inside and mope about, oh, what am I going to do today? Or, you know, I'm bored. We never used the word bored because we didn't know what it was. But we did everything as a family. And then we had to go to school. We had to go to residential school. And that was real devastating for us because, you know, we couldn't figure out why do we have to leave my mom and dad. And they also suffered. But throughout that whole thing, Shirley and I stuck together like glue. And also in the residential school, we weren't allowed to be with our family. So the boys were in a wing with the men, and then the women were in another wing. And we couldn't even visit, you know, and we grew up as a close family. Mm-hmm. But then in the school, and we couldn't figure out why. You know, every kid has questions. Why? And we didn't get answers. Oh. But anyways, the most we communicated was by sign language. So when we were in the dining rooms, you know, we'd look around the room to see if we could find my family. And we always found them because my brothers sat together. And then, of course, my sisters, you know, again, they separated us. But Shirley and I stayed together. And as a twin, you know, we bonded for life. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes she'd think something and I'd say it. Or I would think something and she'd say it, you know, which is really kind of cool. And that's the twin language. And, you know, like most kids in the Mackenzie Delta, when they speak with someone and they don't want you to know what you're saying, you use facial expressions mm-hmm. and sign language that only you guys could understand. Yeah. So once we got out of residential school, and it was a huge adjustment. We never brought up residential school. You know, my parents never talked to us about it. So as a result, we never talked about it. So, you know, life went on, and lo and behold, Shirley and I were introduced to skiing in the spring of 1967 behind Grolier Hall. Mm-hmm. And then we had a coach from Norway, and also Father Mouchet, you know, he was there taking good care of us and always laughing and chatting and blah, blah, blah. And we'd just sit there and listen to him because mm-hmm. he was so kind to us. In the meantime, the test program was being developed, and the test program was the Territorial Experimental Ski Training Program. And it was to see if Indigenous kids, well, I'm just going to say Indian, Eskimo, and Métis, and to see if we as Native kids could excel in cross-country skiing on the international stage. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We proved to them that we could do that. And so the coach told us, you know, like, if we join a club, train, we'll get to travel. And he said, well, we'll have to go home first and talk to my parents about that. And they approved, as long as Shirley and I stayed together, mm-hmm. which is really important. Yeah. At that time,
But, you know, we had the ability to really push each other and not give up. You know, that was, just wasn't in our blood to give up. Our parents never gave up, so we're not going to give up. Our first trip was to Old Crow. And in Old Crow, there's the Frost sisters, Martha Benjamin, who was the first woman really to sort of start skiing in the Yukon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was such an inspiration to us, and, you know, just talking to us, like, you know, who's this woman, you know? And so after we discovered who she was and what she did with skiing in her life, that is a big motivation for us, because she's Indigenous, she's Gutchin, and she never gave up. So, you know, traveling there, and then our next big trip was to Anchorage, Alaska. Oh, my goodness, and Fairbanks, you know, and we our team pretty well cleaned up. You know, we were the buzz of the world.
Mm. And was it your first time out of Canada?
That was our first time in Canada, yes. And, like, our eyes were so big. Just taking everything in. But we were really shy girls, very, very shy girls. But, you know, on our team, we bonded with each other and helped each other through whatever it took for us to win, because that the win was the prize. And it wasn't, you know, to put down anybody. It was to show how good we were at that time. You know, we went to the World Juniors in 1970 in Austria. And, you know, here there's so many junior girls, because we were a junior, and we didn't do that good because we missed our start. Again, in 1970, we went to the World Championships in Czechoslovakia, and we were juniors. We were racing against the best seniors in the world, and we did pretty good as a team again, and we were the highlight. No matter where we went, any country we went, our team was the highlight. And specifically, Shirley and I, you know, we won the people's heart because we're twins, and, you know, they could not tell us apart. And then in fact, in Czechoslovakia, the people were just amazed, and they said, you know what? These girls have Indian blood running through their veins.
Mm.
Can you imagine that? And then we finished high school, went back home, and, you know, shared our journeys with our parents and our friends, and got educated traveling the world, you know, meeting important people along the way, community people in Europe, because they were really interested in, you know, where does Shirley and Jim come from?
Yeah.
You know, so we got to talk a lot about our lifestyle at home, and, you know, it was so exciting for them. And everybody thought we lived in igloos. We always wanted a big house, and we had a three-story igloo. So we were basically the talk of the town, no matter where we went. And, you know, Shirley and I were so proud because we, and of course with support, you know, we pioneered and opened the way for women to cross-country ski. You know, and the first time we went to the Olympics, again, big eyes, you know, we wanted to see everything.
Yeah.
Our motto in the classic is never say die. We just, no matter how painful and tough the training was, there was no way we were going to die. The training was tough, and, you know, we both Shirley and I, we trained a lot with the men's team. And, you know, as an Indigenous woman, didn't know what training was. So, you know, our coach taught us different techniques, and, you know, we'd sit down and make a program, and in order to be good, you have to follow it. And you really listen to your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your body says you're tired, then you take a break. But when it comes to racing and you're tired, you tell yourself to push harder. So it's all about learning and being healthy and just hoping, you know, the young kids would, you know, we would inspire them. We have lots of talent in the north. You know, our kids are so athletic, and we have the snow conditions. The only thing that holds us back is the cold. But just the possibility of seeing all these kids in all the communities in the north, because we traveled after our season was over, we traveled to every community and taught the kids and, tried to promote the sport so, they could learn healthy living again and taking a good look at themselves as to what they want to be when they grow up.
How does that make you feel to know that you've paved the way not only for Northern Indigenous athletes, but for an Indigenous athlete, period?
It's very humbling to know when you do something great that you didn't do it alone. You had your families, you had support from the communities, you had support from the government. And knowing that there was support and involved from other people caring about us, there was just no room to fail, no room to quit, no room to give up, but just to continue to do our best. And I remember one year before the 76 Olympics, which was held in Austria, Innsbruck, Austria, and we went to Norway because Norway has the best cross-country skiers in the world, and they welcomed us. Mm-hmm. And we stayed with a family and got to train with the top Norwegian girls, and it was, again, a real eye-opener. And when you're on the top, man, there's no limit to what you can do. You believe in yourself. You believe that the training is good for you. We had a good coach, and he taught us so much. And his name was Anders Lennon from Norway, and he was the one that really taught us how to ski properly and how to adjust to every situation possible. Because there's no guarantee that you're going to learn everything from one race. But for Shirley and I went off to the Paralympics. Can you imagine that? These Gutchen girls from the crowd that can never say die. and I don't know how many pairs of moccasins I wore, but, walking in those moccasins, it's a journey for everlasting life into the future.
Throughout all of your travels, Sharon, you've been given many awards. Out of all of them, what is your greatest achievement?
Oh, my goodness. When Shirley and I first got the Order of Canada, that's a huge honor. And my dad came to Ottawa with me, because Shirley at the time, she was living in France. Ooh. And she came over with her youngest baby, Tanya, and her husband. And, looking at ourselves from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And, people's eyes. I always talk about eyes because when you see beautiful things, they get really big.
Yeah.
Not only us, but a lot of people. So, they were looking at us. And, not to be big-headed or anything like that, but people would say that we were the most beautiful girls they've ever seen. Mm. So thanks to my mom and dad and our ancestors from Scotland. the most prestigious award was, the Order of Canada. And then we were inducted into the Canada Sports Hall of Fame, Honor of Sport, and that's the highest achievement that we can ever receive, to be recognized by our own country that way. Mm-hmm. And to say that Shirley and I were the first Indigenous woman to win that award, and again, we share it with our people. It's not ours alone to keep. It's for everyone back home to know we thought about them. When times got tough, we knew people back home were cheering us on. And then the next award that we got was, the Order of Canada. Oh, and when I got an honorary law degree from the U of A,
mm-hmm.
That was like, Sharon, what is this? And I used to, every award I got, I would go into my bedroom, my private place, and I would sob because I didn't do that by myself. Again, it goes back to the people. They honored me, and in every way that I would like is to honor them and share with them the things I've learned in life. And then there's another award. Shirley and Sharon got their face on Canada's stamp.
Oh.
Yeah, that is very powerful, because I surely had passed away by then, and the honor of 2018 was when we were honored with that, and it was for women in sport.
That is incredible.
All the women across country and Indigenous people around the world, we represented them.
Yeah.
And what a privilege, what an honor.
My first question would be, is it the lickable stamps or the sticky stamps?
The lickable one. So, yeah. So that was a real honor. And then, you know, actually when I retired from skiing, and I'd sit on the couch and I'd say, okay, what's in store for Sharon for what's she gonna do? And I said, well, the best thing for me is to go home, share with the young people, look for a job, because now I had to work for a living. We didn't have, you know, as athletes, we didn't have an income, you know, so we worked, saved our money so that we could maintain our apartment and, you know, had a place we could call home.
Mm-hmm.
And when we traveled, our expenses were covered, our hotels and, you know, all that was covered.
Yeah.
But as to having a bank account, we didn't know what that was, because it was empty. So I went home and I pounded the pavement. Couldn't get a job. You know, it was all, you don't have any experience. And I thought, you know, these people are a little blindsided. You know, here, I'm Gwich'in from Inuvik, the Northwest Territories, the Beaufort Delta, and all the Northwest Territories, and I can't find a job. You got to be kidding. So my dear friend, Irene Ross, she had a cement shop. And I said, well, I know how to dress. I know how to dress, and I want our band to look good. So she hired me, and I worked for her. And, you know, this is a very humble beginnings to start working in the public force. And, you know, we grew up with nothing, so what do I have to complain about? I have something. But, you know, I've been around the world. I know how to handle myself. I know how to fight for myself. And by fighting for myself, I'm fighting for the rest of our people. Mm-hmm. So my moccasins, I'm going to have to buy another pair pretty soon. Because, you know, our moccasins tell our story.
They definitely do.
It tells about the journeys we have interacting with all the communities. You know, our people are the most brilliant, from what I can see, in the world. And, you know, once we learn our skills and we share it, couldn't be happier.
Exactly.
So that's my journey. That's my journey in my moccasin. I'm going to have to get the one that I'm wearing repaired soon. This is